Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner in PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Marty Wagner, Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at the General Services Administration. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Steve Sika.
Marty, in your years of government service, what qualities have you observed as key characteristics of good leadership?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I can give a complete answer. But I think one of the most important characteristics is to be able to see the big picture, to see the things that really matter. It's so easy to get caught up in the things that look really important but turn out to be not so important. So I'd say see the big picture, be ready to ask the right questions. I think you also have to be ready to work flat. Most of the things that really matter need you to get a lot of other people who don't necessarily work for you to do something that helps you achieve the goal that you want to get. Part of that, you ought to be able to articulate the vision, not just have it in your head, but explain it to other people. Better be flexible, be ready to deal with ambiguity, because there's an awful lot of ambiguity out there, and flexibility is, I sometimes think, the most important trait. And finally, perhaps a silly one, But say please and thank you. I once was working with an interagency group, and there were several folks that were there who really liked me a lot. And I'd like to tell you it was because I was wonderful, but it wasn't. It was I said please and thank you, and they came from an environment where they basically had to deal with a lot of sounded like not so nice managers, very directive, and just the basics of courtesy. It's amazing what people will do for you if you just say please and thank you. So that would be my closing thought. A lot of other things as well.
Let me follow up and ask you about working flat and what the management challenges are from doing that. We know in talking to a lot of government folks that they all would like to collaborate more, yet somehow it never seems to happen. So I'm wondering what the lessons learned might be from working flat.
I think working flat, I think collaboration has worked pretty well. We've done a lot of it. Most of what we do is, in fact, collaborative efforts. A problem, maybe working flat is not the same as working shallow. You've got to be not just talking to people, but moving towards some set of concrete results. So working flat does require discipline, requires focusing on deliverables, things that matter. It doesn't mean that you're getting together once a week to sort of talk about problems and issues. It means that you're each working towards getting something done. I think probably also a lot of the important things, an ecological metaphor is maybe not a bad way to think about it. You're doing something, but it keeps changing on you. The goals keep changing. The priorities keep changing. But if you recognize how that happens, you can use the fact that the world will be changing on you to get more done, because you know something outside of your control is going to happen. You can even predict what a lot of those things are and act accordingly. That's maybe a bit obscure, but think of ecologies and then think about how that metaphor applies to Washington, D.C.
GSA presents achievement awards for real property innovation. Could you describe some of these recent winners and what the impact this has had?
First, let me briefly explain that what we do through many of our programs is we create awards, which involve personal money going to government employees for things they achieve. Now, that's not altruism that leads us to do this. It's because if you want to find out what best practices are and disseminate them across government, an award scheme is a pretty good way of doing it. The ones you mention are those for real property. We have them for travel, for mail management, and several other areas as well. Recently, we gave one to the Department of the Army for privatization of Army utility systems, basically innovative ways of buying things like electricity cheaper. Building Green went to GSA's Public Building Service, a lot of environmentally better ways of building buildings. So because we make those awards, then we put them on our web page, and then people can learn about them. And we also work with other agencies so that the average level of management starts rising to the level of what was the innovation of a few years before.
Now, we've been hearing a lot lately about FirstGov, which is a collaborative government internet portal. And I'm curious as to what GSA's role in that is, and maybe you could share with the listeners a little bit more about FirstGov.
Okay. Let me begin by first giving the URL. If you go to firstgov.gov and spell it out, F-I-R-S-T-G-O-V.gov, although we also made sure to cover various misspellings of that as well. You're going to go to a search engine or a homepage which searches everything that the federal government posts on the web. Right now, that's up to about 33 million documents renewed every week or so. Renewed every 2 weeks, and it's a very effective tool for finding out just what's going on in the federal government. It's arranged by category, so it doesn't require you to be an expert in the U.S. government's internal plumbing. If you type in passport in the search box, you go to the place in the State Department, which has the passport office, where you find out about passports. You don't have to know that's how the government is lined up. And it's, I think, a pretty good model of the transformation the government as a whole is going through. We're going from what I'll call inside-out government to outside-in government. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that mostly when we look out working for the government, we work in our programs and we deliver those programs. We have an organizational view and we deliver it out to customers. Turns out that you can also look at it from the other viewpoint, a customer looking into the federal government, what I'm calling outside in. FirstGov is one of the cuts at doing that. There are some others which we could get into if you're interested. First of all, though, it's a web page that takes you to everything. Then it has taxonomies that lay out the information is organized in different ways. It's also consciously shallow. We're not building some sort of huge edifice in front of everything else that the government is doing. The government is too big, it's too important, too diverse to build one thing to be the front end for everything. But what we can do is it make it easier for folks to get to the place where it matters. So if the place you want, the information you want, is at a NASA website or an EPA website or something like that, FirstGov will get you there in a fast and efficient way.
Telecommuting is a big issue, and I noticed that OGP developed the Interagency Telecommuting Program Manual. I'm curious to know, from your perspective, sort of what's the state of telecommuting within the federal government?
Well, the short answer is telecommuting's got a long ways to go. It's going to be really, really a lot more important than it's been to date. It's where a lot of society is going, because with technology, things like laptops and high-speed access and wireless access, you're a lot more able to work any place at any time. Now, the problem you get into is not all jobs fit that way of operating. In fact, we actually probably would prefer to say telework instead of telecommuting. Telecommuting carries with it the idea of you're really doing the same thing. But telework, you can take a laptop, be on the road, be in a train, be in an airport depot. You can do a lot of that work. We're doing more and more in that direction. We in our own office are setting up hoteling arrangements by which people can more easily move around and do telecommuting that way. There's some real issues to work out. How do you manage a telecommuting workforce? A lot of the people who telecommute or telework, they get nervous about it because if they're not in the office, they're worried about being forgotten. How do you deal with those legitimate concerns and work through that? And frankly, there are a lot of issues in using the information technology to make it standard and reliable to work that out. But we see that as pretty much the wave of the future. It's not going to be for everybody. And you've got true believers who somehow thinks that anyone can be a teleworker. I don't think that's the case, but an awful lot of us are going to be teleworking more and more.
I was interested as a follow-up to that is in how many people currently are taking advantage of the program, and do you see that trend continuing over the next 5 to 10 years?
I'm afraid I don't have any good numbers about how many are actually teleworking at the moment. Although those figures do exist, they're just, I don't have them on the tip of my tongue. I'm pretty confident they're going to grow, and they're going to grow a lot, because at least I just look at my own office, and we're just the tip of the iceberg as we start working out exactly how to do this and how to measure it and work more effectively. So the short answer is there's some going on, and there's going to be a lot more numbers to follow.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back. More of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Marty Wagner.